Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to tell you all about my favorite things, plants. Are you ready? Welcome to episode 93 of Houseplant Homebody. This episode is all about the flowering, I guess you'd call it houseplant, cyclamen. This is definitely something that I've never really delved into myself, nor have I really truly been seriously interested in having this because in my mind, it was one of those early spring blooming houseplants that a lot of people just kind of get rid of as soon as they have it and it's done blooming. So I wanted to discover if this is something that you could actually hold on to because the foliage is actually pretty interesting if you haven't paid attention to that before, which I did not until I was really, really doing the research on these. So cyclamen is actually a winter blooming houseplant, and it actually has the opposite timing as most of your blooming houseplants do. So, for example, usually your Hoyas are going to be blooming in spring, summer, even fall sometimes, but they'll kind of go dormant or they're kind of paused in the wintertime. Cyclamen does the opposite. They're winter blooming. They're thriving in the cooler climates, and they want to go dormant in the summer climates. They don't like the heat. So it's definitely opposite of what you're used to, and that is why they're so unique. And I think that is why we're going to cover them and learn more about them. So we are going to dive into it. We're going to go into kind of descriptions of everything, the usual sun and water requirements, fertilizer, and then we're going to dive into other questions and then repeat flowering and growth because it is kind of unique in this situation. And then I had one Instagram Q&A. So let's get into it. So the Latin name, obviously, is cyclamen. It's what's also normally called if you're talking about this plant. The most common, I guess, variety that you're going to be looking at as a houseplant is cyclamen persicum is what it's called, but it's just hybrid versions of it. Usually you're not getting the true cyclamen persicum. This has been, as I said, hybridized all over the place and has been kind of commercialized as one of those early spring, winter blooming houseplants or flowers that you can bring as like a gift to someone's house or as a centerpiece for something, whatever. Anyways, that is what this one is all about. So I have really actually some pretty good images up on my blog that I took from plant shopping recently. In the last couple months, because I knew this podcast episode was coming. I don't personally have one, so this is a lot of me learning with you and what makes sense based on what I've experienced in garden centers and stuff. So the pictures that I have on the blog kind of gives you some good ideas of what the foliage could look like and the flowers could look like, but the foliage really spans anywhere from bright green to almost a frosty blue, and usually includes some kind of veining or marbling that is slightly off color or a silvery or white color. And then sometimes it may differ even more, and some of the hybrids have even more silver than green on the leaves, and even some of the leaves have purple undersides to them depending on what you're picking up. So normally, in my experience, when you're shopping for these kinds of plants, you're not really going to find the actual hybrid name specifically. So it was a really interesting time looking up varieties. I basically just found the Latin name and then hybrid, and that's it. I didn't find specific names of hybrids that were popular or not. So you're going to go off more of the foliage color and the flower color that you like, and you're just going to pick it based off of what you want and what you like. So I also thought it was a really interesting detail that a lot of the websites that I came across kind of describe the flower as a shooting star. Because the petals are reflexed backwards, pointed down, which totally true, looks like a shooting star. I actually think it looks like a badminton birdie, which also is a fun way of describing it, especially the white blooming ones that look just like it. But it's very cute. It's very different. There are some other plants that kind of bloom downwards. Like if you're familiar with Helleborus, it's a perennial that blooms super early in spring around here. That kind of blooms downwards too. So it kind of has a similar, the flower doesn't look exactly the same, but the fact that it blooms downwards is very similar. The actual flowers for cyclamen kind of aren't that varied in color, I guess. Usually you're sticking with reds, pink, purple, white. But some of them have kind of a double bloom. So there's like multiple petals, and it's just the normal, instead of the normal 5 layer of petals, you're going to have like 10 or more. Others have kind of a combination of them. So you might have white fades into purple, or purple fades into white, or multiple colors like that. So there is some variation depending on which one you pick up. And then similar to Kalanchoe, many people will buy or receive the cyclamen already bloomed out. So if you're one person that's giving this as a gift, or you're picking one up for yourself, I would highly suggest picking one up that is a lot less bloomed, and you can see buds, more buds than flowers, if that's even a possibility. Because if it's fully flowered completely by the time you get it, you're really not going to have a lot of time with it. Granted, these will flower for a little bit of a period of time afterwards. They're a few months to actually continue blooming, so you'll probably have some more blooms past that, and you can deadhead them to help with that. But if there's an option to pick a plant with more buds than there is flowers, I would highly suggest that. All right, we're going to jump right into the sun, water, and fertilizer requirements. Also, sorry for the end of the last audio. For some reason, I can hear everything around me very clearly. And I don't know if it's just this new environment that I'm in or what, but if you hear any banging around or like talking or cars driving by, it's still a problem in this office. So eventually when I get my laptop fixed and I can record on my own laptop in my own office, maybe it'll get better. I have no idea. So anyways, apologies. All right, we're going to dive right into sun, water, fertilizer. So sun requirements. This actually depends on what stage your cyclamen's in. So while it's blooming, it does best in a bright light or bright indirect light. Anything less than that is really not going to help it bloom or continue blooming. So it is important to keep it in maybe a south window, honestly, or under a grow light if that's the kind of environment you want to provide for it so you can keep blooming. And then I have another section in this episode and in the blog post that it's repeat flowers and growth on the blog. That will go into more of the nuances of it, but when it is not blooming, it's best to move it into less light. And I will explain that why later, but it's similar to a poinsettia or an oxalis or even a holiday cactus or something like that. It's kind of similar, but just timing is opposite. And that is basically it. And when I say less light, I mean like you could move it to a north window, or you could put it in your basement. You could do whatever. I'll explain more later. But it's when it's blooming is way more important. And that is the bright light is what it needs. For water requirements, while blooming, the cyclamen does need a medium to higher moisture. So not necessarily like a higher moisture like a maidenhair fern higher moisture, but don't let it dry out completely, otherwise you'll start seeing wilting leaves. I also saw online that it is even better to bottom water cyclamen than it is to water at the crown of the plant, and this will just significantly reduce the chance of rotting at all, since these are a higher moisture plant. If you don't have the chance to bottom water it necessarily, even if you have an extra saucer or something, you could just fill with a little bit of water and let it sit there for 10-15 minutes, soak it up. That would be more than enough. So if you have the opportunity to do that, try to do that. If you don't have the opportunity to do that, then maybe just water not necessarily directly in the center of the plant every single time. You could kind of maneuver the soil around to whisk the water away from the center, maybe. So opportunities to look into that a little bit more. And then this plant does need an increased amount of humidity, especially during the blooming season specifically, and not even especially, solely in the blooming period or the main growth period. So you need to be able to increase the humidity a little bit. There are a lot of ways to do that. Obviously, an actual humidifier is the best way possible, but misting your plant, having it in, if your bathroom has a south window, or if your sink in your kitchen is near a south window or something like that, that all helps. Putting a tray of pebbles underneath it and kind of leaving that filled with water is also said to help with humidity. I have my orchids sitting on those right now. I don't know if it's helping, but who knows? That is why I haven't done an orchid episode, because I haven't gotten them to rebloom. So we're trying, guys. We're trying. Anyway, so many ways to do it. I typically like to do the misting, and I am a big humidifier person. It's just so easy and you don't have to think about it, and it just helps very quickly. So increase humidity and probably medium to higher moisture during the blooming periods. In the non-blooming periods, you will not really need to be watering much at all, but we're going to go into that a little bit more later. So that is the most important thing, probably for the time that you care about the plant more or less looking its best. All right, so for fertilizer, I would recommend fertilizing only in the active growing period. So mostly the blooming period. Again, same thing as watering. If you see your plant is struggling, they do actually like a little bit more of an acidic soil, or you can use an acidic fertilizer. So it's really not necessary at all. A lot of the sources I was reading said that just like a well-draining potting mix is fine. But if you really want to kick it up and try something else, you could get a sulfur fertilizer. That would be something helpful for adding acidity to the soil. Again, as I always say, there's so many fertilizers out there. Honestly, for these, if you wanted to do a blooming fertilizer, you could also do a regular houseplant fertilizer, whatever you wanted to. I'm still going to probably, if I do ever get one of these, I'll probably just stick to my Grow Big liquid fertilizer, or I have the Big Bloom liquid fertilizer by Fox Farm. Either one I'll probably use, and I'm just going to fertilize during the growing period about every 2 weeks, because that is what it recommends on the bottle. And I will just fertilize during the growing period and when it's blooming. So there's probably more of a way to fertilize on this one than some of the other episodes, just because there is a restricted timeline for doing it. But the actual fertilizer is kind of up in the air still. You can kind of choose whatever you want and see if it works. Let's dive into the repeat flowers and growth section, kind of just explain how we can get this plant to rebloom, some of the other facts, and the Instagram Q&A that I have. All right, so this section is kind of going to be a little bit longer, because I'm really going to dive back into the sun and water and all that good stuff, just because it's kind of a different timeline on when you want it to regrowth and stuff like that. So I first want to call out that this is very similar to growing a canna lily, for example, or an oxalis. Not necessarily canna lily, I guess, but the way that it dies back, that's going to be so similar. And oxalis, honestly, is going to be the closest thing to it in my mind that I currently have at home in my basement that it needs to be pulled out soon. So many people will buy the cyclamen and expect to just give up on it after blooming, and there's no shade there. If that's purely what you want this plant for, that's fine. Honestly, that's what it's bred for most of the time at this point. So no shade there. Just if you want to rebuy one when they are blooming again, go for it. But if you want to hang on to it and try to get to rebloom, you do need to give it a little bit of extra care, and I think it is a little bit more nuanced, because the care to get to bloom is a little bit harder than an oxalis or even like a holiday cactus or something like that. So before we go into kind of the instruction side of it, I want you to keep in mind that this plant in its natural habitat likes the temperate environments, so it thrives and it blooms in those cooler temperatures, and it goes into hibernations during the hot, dry season in the areas that's native to, which is around the Mediterranean. So if you purchase this plant in late fall, winter, early spring, that's its natural blooming time. It's supposed to be blooming at that point. So it wasn't forced or anything like that. And you see a lot of them, especially around Valentine's Day and then around Easter. That's usually going to be the holidays that you're going to find a lot of these plants in, early spring, late winter, that kind of thing. Once it's finished blooming, which is normally around late spring, you're going to kind of allow the plant to just die back slowly. Cut back on watering a decent amount. I'd say gradually cut back on it, and you'll start to notice leaves just dying off. My oxalis does the same thing in fall. All of a sudden, leaves will just start to die back even though I was watering the plant. It just naturally does that. While it's dying back, though, you obviously will need to cut back on water, and then after a while, once the foliage is basically completely gone or almost done, you could just stop watering it. So From there, there's a couple ways of doing it, and this is why, in my mind, it's similar to like a canna lily. So maybe not for everybody, it will die completely back. For example, a canna lily, I still have some foliage in the basement, but oxalis, for example, I have none. So at this point, you could just place the plant with no water or anything, just keeping it where it is in your soil, in your pot, in a less light area or in your basement or just somewhere where it can get cooler temps. In front of a south window, it's going to get a lot of light. It's going to be hot. It might even be humid. It doesn't like that. So put it in front of like an, if you still want to put it in front of a window, you could put it in front of a north or east window. Those are probably going to be way better options, but you don't need to be doing that necessarily. Anywhere where you know it's going to stay a little bit cooler than the hotter temperatures in the summer is the main point. At that point, it probably should be placed in this environment, and I saw a very wide span of weeks, but anywhere from 12 to 6 weeks. So during the summer season is basically when you'll be putting this in the cooler environment, which sounds backwards. I know, that's why I keep saying it's opposite. But usually in early fall, you could put the plant back out into a brighter light or increased humidity. The one thing I forgot to mention why I was talking about the canna lily earlier is you can leave it in the pot as is and just move it into a different window, move it to a different climate. Or you can take the actual, what's called a tuber, it's like a bulb, out of the soil and kind of keep that in, you can put it in peat moss or you can put it in just a bag or something like that and keep it available and then replant it. But when you do replant it, you do have to keep a portion of it above the soil line. So I did want to call that out. There's a couple options the way to do that. Depends on what you like to do. I prefer to just keep them in the soil and I'll just stop watering and that way it just dries out and then I don't have to do anything except water it and just in case it doesn't survive or whatever, it has an environment to grow in whenever it feels like it wants to. So wanted to include that piece of it. But whenever you see the new signs of life, that's when you'll start gradually increasing watering and then eventually adding fertilizer. So in the fall time, when you start to see some kind of life and it's about that time, you can bring it back out into the bright light and increase the humidity. And then when you see the new leaves growing, that's when you can start increasing the water, adding fertilizer, all that good stuff. So keep in mind, this just may not work for you right away, or it might not work at all. And that's okay, because the environment it needs to bloom and keep blooming is a little bit more complicated than some of the normal reblooming houseplants like an oxalis or like a canna lily, for example. Those are pretty easy to get to rebloom normally. So that's okay. And usually when they're growing these, it's in a controlled environment. Your house is not necessarily a very controlled environment and you can't give it exactly the humidity and the heat and temperatures and all that good stuff exactly like it needs all the time. Also, some people have the luck where they don't even move the plant, they just keep it in the window, they always have it, and it reblooms somehow. Who knows? Everybody has like a different way of going about it, and sometimes people are really successful with it. Some people are really nitpicky and do exactly what they need to get it to bloom. It just depends on what your level of, I guess, effort or tolerance is that you want to do. Like for me, example, if I have to put this in high humidity and then move it around a lot, that's not really like a plant I normally would want to deal with. But the fact that I already have like an oxalis, for example, where I just send it downstairs, it's going to be a similar environment. The problem is it's going to be my only plant in the basement. So it's going to be my only plant in the basement because all my other plants are going to be brought outside for the summertime. So it's going to be quite the opposite. So a little bit different. All right, let's move on to the other facts and the Instagram Q&A. Alrighty, this is part of the Primuliaceae family, I believe, aka the primrose family. If you don't know what a primrose is a flower that blooms very early in the season, stays very low to the ground. They're very cute. You see them around the same time as you actually see these around Easter time, and they kind of have usually a thicker foliage to it, but they stay pretty low. They're, I guess, considered a perennial, almost like the size of a ground cover perennial, put it that way. I believe I mentioned this earlier, but these are native to the Mediterranean area. So that would be Southern Europe, West Asia, and Northern Africa. So all in those regions is where this plant is native to. And cyclamen can be propagated, but usually it's just by seed you're going to find most people are doing that. But in some situations, it can be divided. More than likely, this is not a plant that you're going to propagate or divide very often, because they'd have to be a lot more mature to be divided in that case. So by seed, specifically. For soil, just a well-draining soil mix is totally good enough for this. I mentioned it in the fertilizer section, but they do tend to like a more acidic soil. So you could add a fertilizer to that, or even adding peat moss, not the sphagnum peat moss, but more of the soily type peat to the soil can help as well. So pretty basic though. I wouldn't put in too much extra effort than you need to. I would say only if you're having actual issues getting it to rebloom, or you want to try it to see if it will help even more, then maybe try it. But your normal well-draining potting mix will do just fine. I don't think I mentioned this earlier, and I kind of just realized that, but these will only get about 6 to 12 inches tall and wide, and it really depends on the hybrid you pick up. Some of them might get the 12 inches, some of them may only say the 6 inches. So pretty small overall, really good tabletop plant in general. And then these are toxic to pets, so I would just avoid Fluffy and Mittens and everyone getting into this plant in general, because that would not be good. So if you need more information on toxic plants or non-toxic plants for pets in general, episode 31 is where you can find that, or that blog post is tagged in this blog post as well. All right, moving on to the Instagram Q&A. Per usual, I ask the same question every time a new episode's about to drop of what questions do you have, but also what hot takes and opinions do you have, because I want to hear them all and I want to talk about them. So I only got one question this time, and I'm glad I got this question because I dug into it a little bit more. So the question is, I have read that cyclamen can be an outdoor plant. What zone is it? What zone, and is it a specific type? So yes is the answer. So the cyclamen we're talking about, the cyclamen persicum, persicum, I think, persicum, that is hardy zone 9 to 11. So obviously that is not an outdoor plant necessarily, but there is a version that is hardy zone 4 to 8. The reason you don't see these very often, and these really aren't being sold, is because they are endangered. Several species of the native variety are endangered. So that is probably why you don't hear about these very often. You're mostly looking at the houseplant version. But the other cyclamen, I included some of the Latin names in the blog post. I'm not going to pronounce them here. But common names would be like alpine violet or woodland cyclamen. They do look a little bit different. They are mounding, similar to the growth that you're going to see in the persicum. But it's a little bit slightly different. It's a little bit lower to the ground, a little bit more spread out as it's growing along the ground. And they stay in temperate climates, like cool, and they like cool, wet winters and the hot, dry summers. So they do exist in zones 4 to 8. They do exist. You're just going to have a hard time finding them. I have never seen them myself at any botanical garden or greenhouse, obviously greenhouse, or garden center. I've never seen them available, nor have I seen them in the wild or anything like that. So more than likely these are native to somewhere else, but doesn't mean they're not available. But if they're endangered, they're probably protected at this point. So good question though, because that would be a whole other topic to explore, but I kind of just stuck with the houseplant version of it. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was very fun to learn about this and really figure out if this was even an option for me to keep this in the house. For me personally, I like to be realistic about my houseplants, especially these days. I have been sticking more to those philodendron, monstera, pothos, hoya vibes and kind of collecting, because there's a ton of varieties out there. But I like to keep learning about plants. I obviously miss the landscape side very much, so I wanted to kind of learn about some of the more difficult, nuanced plants, just like cyclamen and calanchoe like last time. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned something. And if you have a cyclamen, I hope you do well with it. Send me pictures. Let me know if you had different experiences. Comment on the blog post. Comment on the episodes. Ping me. What am I at work? Direct message me, whatever you want to do. Email me. You can message me through my website. However you want to get in contact with me, I'd love to hear about your experience with the cyclamen. All right. Hope you guys have a lovely week, and I will talk to you later. Bye. Okay, hello, per usual, I am back. I want to talk about a few things. So one thing was the newsletter. So that is coming up pretty quickly, probably when this gets released. That will be released within a week after. I'm not guessing. You know what? It's going to be out by Tuesday, May 7th. So more than likely in your inbox later on Monday, May 6th, you're going to have the latest newsletter. And if you didn't know, the newsletter is quarterly. So this is more going to be towards... It's finally spring, almost summer. Let's start talking about it. What do we need to do? How are your houseplants looking? What do you need right now? And a little bit of a landscape side too, because that is a big project for me that I'm excited to keep sharing with you throughout the summer. If you haven't paid attention to my stories, that's where that was. And then the next time you're going to get a newsletter is August. So that is why it's so important to be signed up for the newsletter. So if you aren't, make sure you sign up before Monday, May 6th, or at least by the middle of the day, Monday, May 6th. I also wanted to mention that I still have merch available online, so if you're interested in any of that, it's getting warmer, need some logo t-shirts, they are available, houseplant-homebody.com/shop, I'm pretty sure. Just go to the shop tab on my website and you're good to go there. And then I believe you all know this, and this will be the last time I say this, but obviously the podcast is being released bi-weekly again. No more random different cadences that I was trying out just to get kind of a work-life balance situation. This is what we're doing now. So I'm very excited to just keep doing this. I also wanted to tack on to that I just wanted to change the episodes a little bit. So I still definitely want to continue with houseplants, but I really, really miss my first love, which is landscape plants. So I want to dive into those a little bit more. As I've started already, obviously I did a forsythia episode and I did a spring blooming bulb episode. So for example, the next episode is going to be spring and summer annuals, because I want to go into a little bit more detail on those. I'm going to get some flowering and some foliage ones involved. So it's probably going to be a longer episode, but I am definitely going to be picking up some pictures of them that I already have a ton, obviously, but I'm going to be plant shopping this Friday on the, I think it's the 1st, May 1st? No, May 3rd. Wow, my weeks are all messed up. May 3rd, I will be shopping. So you're going to see some stories about me and my plants, but the next episode is spring and summer annuals. And then beyond that, I'm going to do probably a shrub. A landscape shrub, and then I'll go back to a house plant. So more to come, but I'm very excited to start incorporating even more different plants to learn about with the landscape side of things. I'm also going to go into general topics too. So, you know, I did Holly's house plants birthday edition and propagation explained, medium explained. Eventually I'm going to do a back to basics episode, more about like botanical names and the history and stuff like that. So we're going to mix it up, because I think that's way more exciting than just a houseplant every single time. But that's just me. And I also want to have fun with this. So I'm going to continue having fun by mixing it up a little bit more. And for me to continue learning about plants and still kind of remembering all the landscape side of things that was my bread and butter back in the day. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This was really fun. I got to learn a lot on this one, since I haven't really had the true experience dealing with a cyclamen. And it was a little bit more complicated than I actually anticipated. And I honestly don't know if I will ever bring one home with the intent to continue taking care of it. But I might just try leaving it in my basement after it's done blooming and see what happens, and then hope for the best. If it doesn't work, whatever. You know, that's the kind of attitude I have towards this. But if you want to go for it a little bit harder than I plan to, more power to you. And this is what this episode was about. So hope you guys have a lovely week, and I will talk to you later. Bye.